Գունգթրեք SBS հայերենը.
Sunday evening, with the screening of Emil Gissen's poignant documentary on the 2020 war in Artsakh, the Armenian Film Festival concluded in Melbourne. However, next week, the film festival will start in Sydney, and on Friday, 17 June, 8 p.m., will be screened Ani Hovhannisyan's documentary, The Hidden Map. Ani is with us now to talk about this documentary. Ani, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Well, thank you very much, Bahir, for having me. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your program that connects everybody and brings us together across the world.
Yeah, and Ani, I'm delighted you accepted my invitation for an interview. A bit about yourself. Who is Ani Hovhannisyan?
Who am I? I am a Fresno, California-born Armenian. I am the granddaughter of genocide survivors, as so many of us are. My grandparents, Hovhagim and Khungui Kocholozian of Erzurum and Ordu. My grandparents, Kaspar and Sirun Hovhannisyan of Kharped. They ended up in Fresno, California, where the soil and the vineyards were reminiscent of their homes that were no more. And there we were born, a generation of young American Armenians who grew up hearing their stories, feeling in a way, in a very deep way, their pain, but also living golden childhoods. They gave us the best of life and said, Abrek paits mezbek tabrek. I grew up with the stories of my grandparents as they would sit on their porch in Fresno, California, with other survivors of the genocide as they navigated that unfathomable pain of the past and their hope for the future for us. And so their stories of loss, truly of loss, of having lost their families, their homes, their heritage, their nation, everything, that seeped into us, into me, and became a part of my identity. But so did their strength and their resilience and their just humanity, their complete humanity. And that also shaped us and shaped me. So who am I? I'm an Armenian living in America, feeling connected to all Armenians around the world and feeling that our story is a part of the human story and human experience that everybody needs to know about. I grew up as a broadcast journalist. I went to school for broadcast journalism, and I was a producer and director in television, mainstream TV here, producing shows for a long time, nonfiction programming, reporting for Armenian TV. So I always knew that I would one day tell our story. I knew that I would tell it in a big way for many people to know. I just didn't know how or when it would happen. And that came to life with the creation of my documentary, The Hidden Map.
Yes, Ani. What's the background story of your documentary? How the project started?
Well, my father is a professor at UCLA. His name is Richard Hovhannisyan. And he, in the 80s and 90s, started a program where he and his students, he taught his students how to do this, and he and his students interviewed more than 1,000 survivors of the genocide. He spent his life teaching our story. I was also his student. My mother also, Vati Ter Hovhannisyan, poured that into us, poured that story, that humanity, that determination, that will that the truth must be known into us. So in the early 2000s, 2010, 11, it was 2012, I went with my father, Richard Hovhannisyan, and a small group of journeyers to face the hell of our past and the miracle of our survival. I went to find the homes, the birthplaces, and the death places of our people in historic Western Armenia. And my father actually said, Ani Yertank, and I said, Ayo Yertank. We went with a small group of journeyers, including Armen Royan, who has taken many people to find their beginnings. And while I was there, while we were there, I met this man. We were in a house in Kayseri. And I have to say, going to our historic lands, I didn't know what I was going to find. So the first time I saw traces of things of Armenian, of our past, pieces of gravestones or khachkars or Armenian writing and buildings, my heart dropped. It dropped and it filled at the same time. I was thinking, here they've broken up a cemetery and they've used those stones to make a park wall. So it's heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's evidence of our past, of it's evidence of our existence. And so it's this very conflicted feeling. You're happy in one sense, you're devastated in another sense, and you find a piece of yourself in another sense. But what happened is we were in Gesadia, and we went everywhere. We went everywhere from Asia Minor, where there used to be near Bolis, where there used to be hundreds of cities and villages that had big Armenian populations, even though they weren't a part of Armenia, all the way through Gilligia, all the way east to Kharpet and Erzurum and Dikranaged and Van and Bitlis and Mush and Gars and all these places. And every place there was a discovery at every moment. And one of these places was in Gesadia, when I was in an old Armenian home and I saw this man taking pictures. We knew it was an Armenian home, but no one lived there, obviously. And I saw this guy taking pictures who was not Armenian. He was clearly not Armenian. He said, Pats Mazerov, Pats Mort, Inch Fore. I knew Borinka High Chez. And I had my consumer camera with me, like I always did. And I said, hi, who are you? And what are you doing? And he was taken aback, saying, who are you asking me who I am? But it ends up his name is Stephen Sim, and he's this Scottish explorer who had stumbled upon our lost past, our relics, what's left of our thousands of years of civilization. He had stumbled upon that 30 years earlier as an architecture student from Scotland, doing some summer project on medieval architecture. And he came across Ani, and he came across Chutzkonk, and he came across Armenian things. And he was so taken by the majestic beauty and devastation of that beauty that he spent the next 30 years documenting, going back every year by himself to our land to see what's left and documenting through photographs, mostly through photographs. So I met this man and I befriended him, and I didn't befriend him. I respected him and I followed him and I asked him many questions. I probably annoyed him. He doesn't like really talking to people. He likes focusing on our structures, on our relics and the stories they tell. But I convinced him. I convinced this man who'd been traveling alone for 30 years to allow me to follow him. And so the following year we set out together, I, an Armenian American, in search of my beginnings, and also wanting to understand him and to discover with him the treasures of our past and of our creation that he had so passionately really taken hold of and documented for more than three decades. And I say passionately, not in the even more than in a human way. It's like he looks at our relics as if they are, well, as if they are human, as if they are the keepers of our story, as if they hold the key. You turn the key and you open the door and you enter into the world that would otherwise be lost and hidden. And so that's how my film, kind of that spark that was in me to tell our story, turned into a flame and then turned into The Hidden Map. It was going to be a story about him, but it ended up being the coming together of both of our perspectives and the stories of the people we encounter along the way. I care about people and people's stories. So he's about the relics. I am about the relics and him, and about the people and the voices that need to be heard, past and present.
And how long it took to make the film?
Oh, it took a long time to make this. It took 7 years to make this film, because while I had help along the way, I had a friend who was a cameraman for some of it. He actually became sick in Mush and was hospitalized for almost a week. I had a few friends with me along the way, Peter Mysterlian and Sharon Chekijian, who helped, and an interpreter, and then friends here who helped us some degree. But really, truly, this was a fruit of 7 years of my completely committed. It wasn't labor. It wasn't labor. It was my desire and my need and it was part of my being to create this. So I shot much of it. I produced it. I directed it. I edited it. I went through more than 100 hours of footage. I narrated it. I learned to do things that all these years as a producer I hadn't done. I had teams of people helping me. This I did by myself, and I shaped it and reshaped it and revisited it. And it wasn't done. And my mother would say, "Ani ashkara asibet kedesne," my beautiful mother, Mama Vart, Vartitet, who is now smiling upon us and me from above, seeing that the world is seeing it. But it took a long time to make because I wanted it to be a story that is a lasting testament of truth and a living testimony that is given life and gives life by being seen by many people, Armenian and not Armenian. So I worked and worked and worked until I felt al ashkara gerna desne yev petke desne. Udemen aydora hasadze yev yerakhtabardem letungazgam vor ayd badmutyunere vor med mayrignere med haydignere chigertsan pokhantsel. Gam ad badmutyunere, gam ad hokinere, gam ad averagnere, vor minag mnatsats en ait hogerun mech gam dag. Lav gzga, vor gertsayes yertal yev tpnal yev tsevov ma norengyanki perel yev poste gyanki perel. But yeah, to give them voice again. It is very filling to know that the remains of our civilization, of our religion, of our churches, of our monasteries, of our schools, and of our music and food and the vineyards and of everything, of the people. I'm glad that they are no longer hidden, that we were able to uncover that and to uncover everything that's hidden beneath the surface of modern day Turkey in order to give them life anew in our lives and also hopefully continuing for generations to come. And the lives and consciousness of those who follow.
Ani, when making the documentary, did you plan your journey, say, on a map? You said, I want to visit, you know, these vilayets, these provinces, this city, you know, villages. Or Stephen was unofficially your guide. You followed him, or you decided together?
We did it together. Mm-hmm. We did it together, and it took a long time to do. First of all, you can't plan everything because things happen every day. I mean, I was there on that trip with him for nearly a month, and every day there would be twists and turns and discoveries that no one could ever predict. But as we were planning it, there were places I wanted to see that I had read about and learned about and heard about and that I had not yet seen or that I had seen but wanted to see again and learn more about. But there were also places where, you know, Steve's been going all these years, and there are places he wanted to see where he had not yet been, or places he had been, and he said, Ani, you have to see this. This is Chutzgong, for example, these 1,000-year-old churches right outside of Gars, and it's where he first went, and we hiked. I mean, you think, how did the Armenians make these monasteries, create these gems of creation out so far from any sort of just in very remote places? But there were places like Chutzpah where he wanted me to see, even though he had been there before, where there were 5 beautiful churches and now there is just the remains of one that's exploded out. And that was exploded not in 1915, but in the 40s or 50s by the Turkish military, because after anything that was left, they still try to get rid of it. So there were places we went because he wanted to open my eyes to them and the viewers' eyes to them, places I wanted to go, and then places where he had never been and where he wanted to. There's always more. There's always more. No matter how much you think you've seen, I mean, some people think there is nothing, but there is so much. If you just keep digging and keep looking, there's always more to find. And it's that more to find that probably was the most exhilarating of my journey with Steve, because I saw him also come to life and how what keeps him going and ticking and pan iden aduna aspes gedaksene, when you find a hidden chapel that nobody else has seen for who knows how many hundred years, or you locate this shadow on Google Maps and we go and you plot out how you're going to get there. And we were lucky, we rented a car, but sometimes when he does it by himself, he does it with local transport, with buses and so forth. So boy, he also was happy that we would have a car. Very basic. It was a very basic journey. We just stayed in basic places, ate basic bread and cheese and whatever to get us nourished, and a car to take us places, and our need, our hunger to discover more. So it was kind of Steve wanted what I wanted, and a coming together of what wanted us to discover them. I mean, sometimes it was our discoveries weren't based on what we were looking for, but what based on what those relics calling out somehow beckoned us, and we found them.
Any particular event affected you more?
Everything did. Everything did. From the absolute desolation in my grandfather Kaspar's village of Bazmashan, where nothing was left but a donkey. But then when I went outside of Bazmashan, which today has a different name, like right next door, they built on it. They built a newer village, and there were people there who still spoke of the Armenians and that this was Armenian. To my grandfather's village in Zito, where I entered what I think was his home, because he had, with my mother, created a map of all of the many hundreds of houses and to whom they belonged and the layout of the street and what was on those streets. And with that map, I went and I entered what I thought was my grandfather Hovakin's home, which is now a stable. And I felt relief when I saw a cow and chickens and so forth. I felt relief when I actually let one or two of the chickens free to leave. That goes to Azaduchun Sebovma. It was all emotional, going to Ordu, to what would have been my grandmother's elementary school that ended up being the orphanage she was in, and now it's a Turkish school. It was emotional being in Mush and Dikranaged, where I met people who told the stories of the Armenians and who were brave enough to say, yes, I am Armenian. People who still have the need, the desire, the courage in that land where it's taboo to be Armenian still. They have the courage to want to claim their identity, to explore their identity, to be Armenian. Or Turks and Kurds who can't live with the lies or with the burden of the crimes of their forebears and have to get it off their chest. They speak the truth. That is very emotional, very moving, and very telling to me, because it tells me that as much as the government tries to and does deny, and as much as the world doesn't care about the genocide, but particularly talking about Turkey's official and continual and any means possible denial of the genocide, which is a continuation of it in some way, and the cultural genocide too. But it made me realize, meeting these people, that there is still hope. I mean, I am hopeful and faithful anyway, but to meet people living in those lands who say it and breathe it themselves, that we have to face history, we have to face the truth, and that this land belonged to the Armenians, that itself is message enough for me and food enough for me to nourish my spirit and make me want to carry on and care and keep connected to our story past, which is continuing through us all over the world, with you in Australia, with me here in Los Angeles, and with our children.
Ani, did you encounter problems while filming? Didn't people get suspicious of what were you doing?
Sometimes they did. I was stopped a few times by police, and we were very casual, though. We didn't go with a crew. We were tourists. I mean, I wasn't supposed to be making a documentary. In fact, I could get in trouble for that. I was a tourist. We were all tourists, and we really were tourists. But what I discovered, I created something with. So when people did ask me, and so we didn't set up with very fancy equipment and tripods and lights or anything. We didn't call attention to ourselves. We were very low-key. In fact, Steve didn't even like that I would talk to people. I would interview people and he'd get mad at me saying, why are you talking to them? I'd say, where are the Armenians? What happened to the Armenians? And Steve would yell at me saying, why are you asking them what happened to the Armenians? We know what happened to the Armenians. Let's go and take a picture of the cemetery across the way, what's left of those stones, because that's not going to be here next year or next time we come. And because we have only a few minutes to take pictures because the sun is going down. So he tried to avoid all human contact while I looked for it and was drawn to it. But my point is that we tried not to stand out. We tried to be as inconspicuous as possible, and we were. But sometimes people did ask, police or so, and I would say I'm Armenian, actually, just because I kind of had no fear. And I think my grandparents went through what they went through, and who am I to be afraid, and still feel like it's mine in some way. So maybe it wasn't the smartest thing to do. People tell me not to do that. But I would also say I'm just not documenting. I'm here exploring and taking pictures of this Armenian church, or this is where my grandparents were born, and I'm here to just look. So I didn't hide who I was. I didn't hide my identity. Did I sometimes maybe flaunt it? I don't know, but it's just this thing in me, this fire in me that, not in a bad way, in a good way, that somehow our feet are still on the ground there. So I was confronted, but I'm not an intimidating person. I'm not an intimidated person. I'm not doing anything harmful. I'm there exploring and discovering, and I'm just a human being. So it could have been dangerous, but it ended up being fine. I think we got lucky. A few times they took passports. A few times things happened. In fact, once our car got stuck. Our car wouldn't start, and we were in the middle of a storm, and we had just gone hiking for many hours to a monastery, and we came back, and it's not starting. And then we had to go to I hiked to a main road and stopped the shoe salesman or shoe deliverer, and then he called the police, and then the Turkish military came, and it was such an adventure, and bad things could have happened. They even took us to their military base, but it ended up we just needed a battery charge, and they charged our battery and gave us snacks. And these were just young Turkish soldiers who were doing their time. They knew we were Americans, and they didn't actually ask, why is your car stuck here in the middle of nowhere? So somebody was watching over us, that with all these things that could have gone wrong, nothing did go wrong. And I don't know. I also think that there's a time where, you know, Jagadakir, Betke Spadmuchuna, Delmagahasning Yankimach for Betke Ira Ganuchuna Imanal, Daradzel, Snagal Lal Mer Gankeru Hamar, Urvoren Kima, Mer Zavagnerum Pochansel, Ait Hokin, High Hokin, Maskain Hokin, Yev. Իմանալով, որ ամեն ինչ իր օրը ունի եւ պետք անելով միայն, պետք է անել, չեն կնար ասել, ո ալ կարևոր չէ, ո ալ 100 տարի անցավ, ո իմ կյանքս հոս ավելի հետաքրքիր է, կամ ինչու ես պիտի ադով զբաղվիմ, շատ գցավի, կամ չեմ ուզել Թուրքիա ելտալ, չեմ ուզել իրենց իմ տրամս տալ, ատ չէ, շատ ավելի խորունգ է ադկե, շատ ավելի իմաստ ունի, եւ ուրեմն ինձի համար բոլորս կպատկանինք, շարունակություն կա, եւ մենք կպատկանինք այդ շարունակության, ուրեմն իմ հոգիի ոչ թե բարդքը, բայց բետքը այս պատմությունը իմանալու եւ բաժնելու։
Annie, did you meet many hidden Armenians?
Many. I met so many people, and I touched on it earlier, who, and especially in Dikranaged, and especially in Mush, who told me the story of their great-grandmother or great-grandfather and how they learned their Armenian, either on their deathbed or when they found something in a dowry chest, or just when the grandmother would sing Hayr Med, or they grew up knowing that they have Armenian blood and Armenian roots, but they weren't really supposed to live with that. So they grew up as Kurds, they grew up as Turks, but there's so many people there. I mean, I think there are millions. I met hundreds. And it's those people I met and people like them whom I didn't meet because I was there for a short time, who to me are our living link. And these are people who continue to be in some way persecuted or oppressed in Turkey, but feel strongly enough that they will take that risk. And they want us to know, they want to know that we care. They want to know that they matter, because they're kind of living a life with a false identity, and they want their real identity, but they can't do it alone. Those roots need to be nourished and watered and fed, and we can help with that. So in Dikran Ayged, because it was a Dikran Ayged, Diyarbakir had a Turkish mayor, and that region did, Suud. And that Kurdish mayor was very pro-Armenian. And Kurds in particular, when they see Armenians, they say, oh, we were friends. Oh, we know what happened. We lived together. I mean, the Kurds killed the Armenians. We know that. But they now have also learned what it means to be persecuted. I mean, they are living bad times in Turkey. And so now they've come together with other minorities, including the Armenians, and are trying to give them strength and gam. So in Dikran Ayged, there was a Kurdish mayor who supported the rebuilding, the renovation of an Armenian church, Giragos, from the 1300s. And I was there when they reopened that church. The municipality rebuilt it, so the Dikran Ayged Armenians in Istanbul. And I went to the opening, like when I didn't happen to be there. See, that's something I planned. I knew that there was going to be that July, whatever day that was. I knew that the Armenians, they were going to open that church. So I was in Dikran Ayged on that day intentionally. And boy, what an overflow of just so much built up emotion and trauma and relief. These people who were kind of living in hiding were able to come under this roof, not necessarily as Christians, but as people exploring their identity. I mean, they're all Muslim for the most part. They've grown up as Turks and Kurds, but some are even converting to Christianity, and they did at that church. And some aren't there, and it's not about that for them, but it's about having an identity. And that church gave them the safe haven to explore that and to come together so that they don't feel alone. And that's in the film, too. And that's the hopeful part of the film. I mean, it's, for me, a climactic moment. And yes, there are many hidden Armenians who don't want to be hidden anymore. And there are many hidden Armenians who will remain hidden, probably. And that's, who knows? I don't know. But in being able to tell this story and go and discover it myself, see, it becomes real. It doesn't just become, it's not just a word. It's not just the words hidden Armenian. It's not just the word genocide. It's not just the words 1.5 million. Each of those has such deep meaning, deep reality. And when you touch it, when you face it, when you feel it, you say, aha, it comes to life. This is real. And it does matter. So yes, hidden Armenians wanting not to be hidden, our story wanting to come out of hiding. And boy, I'm sure glad that in a tiny way, the hidden map is able to do that.
This year you showed your documentary in the British Parliament, and it will be aired also on PBS. How do you feel when you see your creation on public TV? Do you have a sense of relief, sense of achievement?
But I certainly do want the world to see it. If this, along obviously with what we all do in life, with passing it on to our children, but if this story is the story that the one thing that I do before I move on to Habidenagangyang. But far after I'm gone, I am hopeful that this story will live on than me, than Ani, than my life, something that can maybe touch the lives and become part of the permanent record of living, continuing, evolving history. I want much of the world to see it wherever I can share it. And it was wonderful sharing it in Parliament because the parliamentarians and barons and baronesses were all very interested and asking questions and making parallels, and we were able to explore it as part of, again, what's happening in the world today and the greater human experience, not just as an Armenian story. I've shared it in Sweden and Canada and a few different places, but just screenings, not on TV yet. But the United States, it was on the air on a network last year on April 24th when President Biden acknowledged the genocide. At that moment, actually, it was on the air on NBCLX. But the fact that it's going to be airing now, today, Sunday, June 5th, is really, in my life, a historic moment, because it is today that it begins to be broadcast in hundreds of cities across the United States, large and small, with and without Armenian communities. So that, to me, is oh so filling. And I don't think I could have imagined it or asked for a better home than public television, where they put on programs that are probing and that people watch and learn from very attentively. And so I really hope to awaken many people's conscience and consciousness and engage them.
Ani, were you in Artsakh in 2020?
Yes, I went to Artsakh in 2020. I had been there a few years before with my daughter Sofine's class at Fedayan Armenian School here. Here, we're lucky to have Armenian schools, and those schools, when kids are in 11th or 12th grade, take the students to the homeland that is today of the Republic of Armenia, and in some cases, Artsakh. So I went with my daughter. I didn't go with her, but I was there at the same time, and I was documenting some of what they were experiencing in Artsakh. And it was so alive, and we were there. I remember it was International Children's Day, and in the center of Stepanakert, there were thousands of youth, girls, boys, dancing, singing, performing. Life was buzzing. And I didn't imagine that when I went 2 years later, it would be, in a sense, kind of a continuation of what we saw Turkey do. It wasn't completely destroyed, but Stepanakert was emptied. And just a few flickerings of human motion and breath. And then the outlying areas also, and our monasteries. And there's a Dikshanaget there, and there are monasteries and chapels and churches. It was almost not real. Like to be driving and seeing villages burning. So there was a lot of destruction outside of Stepanakert. And in Stepanakert, there was destruction too. They had bombed it. There were apartments and marketplaces and churches that were bombed, hospitals. But the city was still pretty much intact, but like a ghost town. But once you went out to these villages, it was eerie. It was heart-wrenching, just gut-dropping to witness that. And it was happening in front of my eyes. I mean, I went when there was supposed to be a ceasefire and when Armenia had agreed to give up some of this land and some of that, and it was devastating. And I knew that I was there for the last few days, that those would for now be Armenian, and that in a few days later, it would no longer, I guess on paper or in, I don't know, we would no longer be allowed to go there. And that was so difficult to swallow, to kind of accept, but so it was. So emotional thinking about it, because I see it in front of my eyes, to see this Dikshanaget where there was Armenian, there was a museum with Armenian artifacts from thousands of years ago, and right above it, there is a church. I mean, to see that all emptied out and barren, and I mean, some of it had been taken to Armenia for safekeeping because they knew this was going to happen, but some of it was so big they couldn't move it. And I thought, where are the churches, the crosses? I knew that tomorrow, the next day, those would be the victims of cultural genocide. And so it is. It's happening in front of our eyes. I'm not without hope. Many people are without hope. Many people say, I'm done, that I'm no longer going to waste my time and life worrying and caring about it, because look, we came together in 2020 with Artsakh and gave as an Armenian diaspora of the world. And then what happened? And they gave Shushi away, and they've given so much away. And so people say, I'm done with Armenia, I'm done with Artsakh, let me just live my life. There's no turning back. But I think I have a different perspective, partially maybe because I'm an idealist or a romantic, or I just refuse to accept surrender. But that happens because I know where we come from, and because I have myself witnessed what we have endured as a people. I have witnessed on the land where we were created, our magnificent creation. And despite every effort of Turkey to destroy it, to destroy us, and despite every reality that the world doesn't care, for the most part, we're here. We're here. And we have survived and endured, and we're here, and we're everywhere. So I'm not a fatalist. Maybe I'm not too pragmatic. I'm not sure. But I know that each of us has a place in our continuum. Each of us belongs. That as individuals we can do, and that together we can do even bigger and better and stronger. Uremen, yes, huysunim vor Artsakhe, Hayastane, Chenkorsuntsner, vor pastane, vor Hazaravor dadi, taretar, timatsadzenk, anyereva gayeli, charerutem, yev gank, gank, hos enk, desterdzenk, մեր դամրացնենք, մեր արմատները, մեր ընտանիքները, մեր զավակներուն մեջ կլեցնե այն, որ մեզի դրված է, և այդ պիսով գշարնագենք, և կունենանք երգիր, և ազգ, և մարդկություն։
Thank you for the interview. We did a long journey from historical Armenia to Artsakh. However, I'm sure you are going to have a memorable trip to Sydney and have a good memories from the Armenian Film Festival.
Well, I am surely looking forward to it. I have been to Sydney once. I have family there. I have friends there. But I know that there is a large community, and I am really looking forward to meeting everybody, to watching the other films. And surely I am looking forward to sharing my journey into our forbidden past with everybody there, because it's not just about the past. It's where that path has taken us, and where is it gone, where it's living today, and that in each of us. So I look forward to a eye-opening, exciting, just wonderful visit with everybody in Sydney. I hope we have a robust audience where we view and journey together, and where we have a very open and lively conversation with one another after the film, where I will be speaking with the audience and taking your questions, and I don't know, journeying in a different way, person to person. So thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Thank you to the Australia Armenian Film Festival for all of your efforts in creating this wonderful opportunity year after year. I know that it was hard for a few years and had to take a little break, but I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad that you're doing it. I know it's a lot of hard work. Thank you for making The Hidden Map and making me a part of it. And I encourage everybody to come. And on the 17th, right by here, it's the 17th.
Yes.
And we'll spend the evening together and more.
Friday, the 17th, 8 p.m.
Shad love. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Paddy Lord says, yeah, Parach Miasin.
Kuzesil sel naman batmutuner. Kungantre, Apple Podcasti, Google Podcasti, Spotify Evra, Gam Urderem War Podcastet Kleses.